Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
We're currently in an amazing series surrounding seasons. And so, last week, Pastor Mindy opened it up. I mean, she opened it all the way up. Amen. And so if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, it's on YouTube, so you can go check it out. But how many of us know there's, at all of our lives, we go through various seasons. And one thing that I just turned 37, and I've lived long enough to know that just because the calendar says that it's a season's about to change, that the season doesn't necessarily dictate by the calendar. There's been times where winter was supposed to end, but it didn't end. It still snowed after it was supposed to end. So seasons are not predicated off of time constraints. And so what the Lord is trying to usher us into is be able to see what the Lord is doing in this season of our lives. You can be in a season that far exceeds a few months. It can actually take a few years, but how we steward that season depends on what we get out of it. Amen? And so this morning, we're going to go into an area that is very, very critical in the life of every believer. Why is it critical? Because Jesus mentions that it's critical. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, he makes this request or this thought process. He says, let's go over the first four words. We're going to get to it later, but moreover, it says, when you fast. Let's say it together as a family. Say, when you fast. What that is saying to us this morning is that in every believer's life, you should at some point come into a space of fasting. Now, we're going to kind of talk about what fasting is and kind of do some legwork now. Fasting, by definition, is the abstaining from food or pleasure for the purpose of spiritual growth and hearing from the Lord. It is a personal commitment to renounce the natural and invoke the spiritual. It is a time period of dedication to devote yourself to spiritual priority of prayer and meditation in God's word. Amen? Check this out. So, there's various types of fasts. Oftentimes at the very beginning of a year, we see all across the country, actually all across the world, people are fasting because that's typically what we do around this time. But what the Lord is trying to give us wisdom on is that we don't just have to do it at just this beginning. We can live a fasted life. Amen? Now, there's various types of fasts. There's water fasts. There's fasts where you can say, hey, I'm going to turn down social media for a season. There's fasts where I'm going to just only eat a particular thing this season. There's famous fasts like what you may have heard before called like the Daniel fast, where you're eating nothing but vegetation and fruits and water. Now, during those time periods, if you've ever fasted before, you might even break the fast. I'm going to turn my head this way if you've ever broken a fast. Now, simply because if you start it and you stop it, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's all over with. Just get back up. Just get back up. Now, I want to lay some parameters around what fasting is as well. So in order to help us understand what fasting is, let's talk a little bit about what fasting is not. All right? So fasting is not a hunger strike, where I'm simply not eating because this is what I'm supposed to do. Now, one of the ways I know that I'm on a hunger strike is if I'm not reading, if I'm not praying, and if I'm only watching to see if I'm losing weight. Because oftentimes we say new year, new you. We're looking at our bodies to try to get a jump start to new things. And I find myself looking at the scale to see how much I'm weighing. That means that I'm not even in no way form having my idea or my heart set on fasting. I'm actually, my mind is completely somewhere else. Now, another thing, whenever we're fasting and we don't couple it with prayer and meditation, this indeed equals a hunger strike. When we're fasting, we're intentionally placing our intentions and affections on the things above, as the Bible talks about in Colossians chapter 3. It says, set your affections on things above where Christ is seated. And then if we continue to read that particular chapter, Eric, the Bible says that your life, my life, our real life is hidden in Christ. So you will not be able to see it on your natural eye. It's only through relationship where the Lord begins to show you who you really are. Honestly, sometimes when you begin to see who you really are, it might be a little frightening because you've been somebody else this entire time. You're like, who am I? And as you have relationship with the Holy Spirit, he begins to whisper, hey, this is who you are. I have good plans for you, like we were singing earlier. It's not just a song. He really does have good plans. He says, I love you from the very beginning. I called you by name. And I saw you, and he says, I love you. And not only do I love you, but I'm coming after you. Do you guys know that Christianity is the only religion where God is actually coming to get his people? Every other religion, everyone is, the relationship dynamic is trying to get to God, trying to get to God, trying to get to God, trying to get to God. I'm giving what I can. I'm working all I can. I'm doing all I can. But Jesus, God, in his omnipotent power and his love, he says, no, absolutely not. I'm coming down to you. That's a completely different dynamic. He says, not only do I love you, I'm not just by word only, I'm by deed, meaning that I'll come down. In John chapter 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And if we jump all the way down to verse 14, what does it say? It says that he put on flesh and dwelt among us. It's the Word of God is saying that he didn't just yell for you. He came and knocked on the door. He came and knocked on every one of our doors and say, hey, I come and love you. Could you open it up for me? Now, why does he want to open up the door? He's opening up the door for us so we can have relationship. That's what fasting is doing. Fasting is turning down our regularly scheduled programming so that we could tune into what the Lord may be saying in this moment, in this hour for each and every one of our lives. Amen? So fasting is not just a moment to try to impress God with bodily sacrifices, to see how long I can fast, how much I can endure during this moment. That's what fasting is. It. Now, what fasting is an opportunity to connect with God. An opportunity to connect with God. When we say yes to Jesus Christ and we ask him into our life, the Bible says that we become one with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, it says that when we connect with the Lord, we are one spirit with him. So why is this so important? Now, When we receive the Lord Jesus into our life, there's something that takes place spiritually. Say spiritually. There's a spiritual component to who we are that gets connected to God. Amen. If we're to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, I think Pastor Mindy said it last week. Only those who take notes make it to heaven. So we're going to go over a few scriptures this morning, but we're going to. Now, the Bible tells us something really, really critical. It says, with all you're getting, get what? Get a good understanding. And so what we're covering this morning is laying the basis on not only the benefits of fasting, but the power of fasting. The Lord is not trying to just have us just only use this one moment in time to fast, but the Lord is saying that not only is that the case, I'm trying to walk you into a fasted lifestyle where you're walking with him. Like it was in Genesis, like in the cool of the day, where he can talk to you, he can reach you, he can whisper to you, and you don't wrestle with it, but you begin to follow him. Now, when God created us, we are made in the image and likeness of God. Amen? There's three parts to us. If we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. He says, this is the complete you. He says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the Bible saying? He's saying there's three parts to every one of us. There's a body part, which you see physically. There's a spirit part, and there's a soul part. Now, we're spirit beings. We live here in this body, and we have a soul. Now, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, in our soul, this is where we record our life happenings, the things that has taken place and the things that has not taken place. It gets recorded in your soul, in your thoughts. Now, this is so significant because as life happens, things get caught up in our soul. We face heartbreak. We've had relationships that have went haywire, and it's caused a heartbreak, and it make you not want to date again. We've wanted jobs, and we didn't get that job, and it makes us not even want to apply in that field again. We've lost loved ones, and because we've lost loved ones, it makes us not want to love again or believe again. And those things get caught up in our soul, in our thinking. And we begin to live life broken because those things got caught up inside of us. Amen? But if we were to go to Psalms chapter 35, verse 13, Jesus was giving us a secret when he was telling us the importance of fasting. In the New King's Translation, it says that in clause B, it says, I humbled myself with fasting. But in the New American Standard Bible Version, it says that I humbled my soul with fasting. My soul, which has my mind, my will, and my emotions, the way I see life, the way I see God, the way I see people, it's right there in my soul. And sometimes it gets so loud because of life and things that has happened to us that those things speak way louder than what the Lord may be saying to each and every one of us. And that's why fasting is so beautiful, because we get the opportunity to quiet those things down. Amen? We're going to do a quick exercise, all right? You guys with me? You guys said I'm home, so I'm at home now, right? All right. We are step fans. So check this out, you guys. We're going to do a quick example. Pastor, can I use you as an example? Quick. Oh, no, you stand right there. You can stand right there. Pastor Manny, can I use you as an example? Cool. Now, for the next 10 seconds, everyone here, I need you to do something. I need you to just begin to talk loudly. I'm going to count from 5 to 1, and once I get to 1, I want you all to be quiet. All right? 1, 2, 3, go. Start talking. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If I was trying to talk to you when all that noise was going on, it would have been difficult for me to hear you. What fasting does is it turns down everything so that you can hear God clearly. Now, when all those things are so loud because life happens, it makes it so you can't hear. But when we come into this fasting season, this fasting place, which leads to a fasting lifestyle, we're able to hear God. God is speaking so much, you guys, so much. But we've gotten caught up with so many different things, and it's speaking so loud that we cannot hear. As I was in preparation this morning, the Lord gave me a word directly for both of you guys. The Lord was saying that not only did I pull you out of the grave, not only take you out of the cave, I took you out of these places because I love you. But there's a purpose behind it. He says, I pulled you out of the grave and I pulled you out of the cave to help break every chain. To break every chain. To open prison doors. There were seeds that were sown over 10 years ago The Lord says, I had to preserve you because those seeds is going to need the watering that comes from your life. He says, it's not over yet. He says, there's more for you to do. He says, I did not just stop these things happening out of for no reason. He says, it's because of my love for you. And there's more for you to do. But when we can get so busy where the Lord's trying to say it, but I'm handling all these things. I'm doing all these other things. And the Lord says, I want to turn it down so you can know I called you out, fiery woman of God. I called you out of the cave. I need the fire in your voice. I need you to begin to speak to men and women and have them believe God in such a way where they say that, what must I do to be saved? There's such a fiery testimony in this woman of God that as she begins to pronounce the name of the Lord, that not only will chains break, but families will be mended. And the Lord is saying, not only did I pull you out, there's things that I'm doing in your family. And it's only through the wisdom, as you listen to me during this fasted time, as you pull the distractions away, he says, watch what I do. And he says, he's going to get the glory completely. It's not by wisdom. It's not by might. It's not by how much scripture you know. It's not by who you know. It says, but by my spirit, says the living God. And the Lord is saying that because I love you, you can trust me. And the Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord, they shall be renewed. And the Lord is saying there's a brand new wind for this upcoming year. A brand new wind. You're going to speak like you've never spoken before. You're going to prophesy like you've never prophesied before. You're going to sing like you've never sung before. The Lord says, because I'm going to be on full display. God bless you. This is what happens when we get into these spaces where we allow the Lord to speak. And he only does these things because he loves us. Say, he loves me. So, I always believe that when we're fasting, this is the most powerful the believer can be in their journey because they're hearing directly from God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9, Renita, the Bible says that eyes haven't seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things he has in store for those who love him. But it's been revealed through the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that begins to search the deep things and make those things plain to all of us. So as we get into this fasted season and we yield ourselves, it's not us simply pushing the plate, but times of meditation, times of reverence. Those moments you're not on your social media and you're fasting from social media, make sure you crack open the Word of God. Make sure during those moments, you're not simply just not eating, but you're actually replacing that moment with food from heaven. Jesus said it simply this way. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that what? Proceeds from the mouth of God. Our life is not to be, I know we're living in this body. Food is good. I love food. I love food if you can't see. But there comes a time when you have to turn it down because this is more important than this. Amen. This is more important than this. You following me? Yeah. This is the opportunity. The Lord is walking us all into a new space to experience him in a brand new way. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12, there was chaos in the city. And the Lord had raised up this prophet named Joel. And as chaos was happening, there was something that happened in particular that was different. He told them, I'm calling a fast. When the Lord called the fast for the people, because the Lord can call a fast for a body of people, if we're to continue to read that, the Bible instructs us that, he said that the next verse, he said that, I don't want you to simply just fast and tear your garments. In the ancient days, in biblical past, when people would fast, when they were fasting, they would rend their clothes. They would tear their clothes as a sign of this is not who I am anymore. I'm hurting because of all that I've went through. And the Lord begins to say to them, I don't want you to simply tear your clothes. He says, I want you to tear your hearts. He says, I want you to open up yourself to me during this fast. He says, I want you to begin to pour out the things that's on your heart, that's on your mind. I know sometimes we can get so sophisticated where we feel like I know God. We can have so many degrees. I'm a degreed man myself. But there's nothing. When I get before the Lord, I become like a little child, as if I don't know anything. I cry, I weep, I yell, if you have not seen yet, because I lose all of that. Those degrees don't mean anything to me. I'm right before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Even when chaos breaks in my life, the Lord is saying that you don't have to just sit there and just accept the weight that's on you. He says, as you fast, come before him, open it up, say how you feel, and mean what you say. The Lord is not intimidated by your real questions and feelings. I lost loved ones and I'm hurt because of it. Lord, I thought you were going to come through and I'm hurt. He says, I'm not intimidated by any of that. He says, if you give me opportunity, I'm a mender. He says, I'll come and I'll mend your broken heart. I'll come and love and put structure to your life. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. When I saw you in your mother's womb, this, what happened in your life, didn't catch me by surprise. I'm going to send men and women of God right around you to love on you so you can know that it was me. It's by the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. It's not me preaching scriptures. It's not me speaking all these amazing revelations. None of that doesn't matter. It's how you love. The Bible says that we turn, our lives change as we experience God's goodness. This morning, the Lord is wanting us to experience his goodness. But it's going to require something. We're going to have to let go of ourselves. Everything that we have once known about God, we're going to have to let it go. And Father, show me all over again. Let me experience you all over again. Could you restore the joy of my salvation like when I first believed you? Could you help me to receive you? I have loved ones who have no idea who you are. Father, could you go visit them? And he'll do it because he loves you. Not because of your goodness, not because of your righteousness. You can't be good enough. You can't love hard enough. It's all predicated off of who Jesus Christ is. Fasting is a very critical moment in the life of a believer. Now, this is a very tender topic for me because throughout my journey with the Lord, I've come into places where things that I wanted was not happening, and it's because I couldn't see what was taking place. And it was only during those fasting seasons where the Lord began to open up my eyes so that I can see. There's moments and times when the Lord is trying to reach us, but because of life gets so cluttered, we can't hear him. You guys have seen my son. He's 3 years old. His name is Demetrius Jr. Before we had him, my wife and I had experienced miscarriages. We lost children. Early on in our marriage, I had a dream of a little boy that looked just like me, and I was chasing him down the hallway. It was so real. I woke up my wife, and I was like, you gotta be pregnant. You gotta be pregnant. And she wasn't. But it was a seed planted inside of me to hope. So for a season of my life, it was not months. It actually was years of fasting and praying. I would go before the Lord in the morning. And I would give him his word to him. I would say, Father, your word says in the book of Malachi, chapter 2, you desire godly offspring in the earth. I'm a godly man. My wife is a godly woman. You told us to train up children in the way that they should go, so when they get old, they will not depart. We're going to do it. Father, I say thank you now for the children that's going to come forth. Even during that season, there were still miscarriages. One day, the Lord said to me, actually, I heard the testimony of another sister. The Lord had told her, as you're believing the Lord, to just start making way in preparation to the things that he told you he's going to do. So with no children in the house, no nursery set up, I told my wife, I want to go buy a toy and start getting the room ready for him. So we went and grabbed the toy and hung it in the room, believing the Lord. And as we believed the Lord, we began to walk in faith. And in doing so, we begin to experience a new understanding of who God is. God has many different names. But the name he wanted to introduce us to was Provider. And it only came through this fasting season that we were able to see him as Provider. Life was trying to get to make us feel as though he couldn't do it. But this is why we're a people of faith. For we walk by and not by sight. If I allow what I see to be paramount, it'll kill what I know him telling me to do. But we have to believe him. This year, we have to believe him. Everything is contingent on us believing him. We have to believe him. Say, I have to believe him this year. In Matthew chapter number 4, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to a very familiar place in Jewish history. It was a place called the wilderness. And there he was tempted by the devil. When we fast and we yield our lives and our minds over to the Lord, he begins to speak to us. And in that moment, he was yielded over into this place. And he not only faced the enemy, he defeated the enemy. He was defeating the enemy, and his natural Jewish lineage was being restored. Why you say that? Because years ago, there was a body of people named Israel. They went to this place called the wilderness. And in the wilderness, they wandered for 40 years. And so Jesus fulfilled those years by every day as he fasted. For 40 years, he fasted 40 days. And why was this so significant? Because he was changing the trajectory of his family bloodline. We get an opportunity to change our bloodline as we yield to the Holy Spirit. When God saved you, it wasn't a coincidence. It's not a coincidence you're even here right now. The Lord is saying, I'm doing something brand new. Will you allow him to do this brand new thing inside you? Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, talks about when Jesus came. It says, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and he'll be called many names: Mighty Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Lord wants us to experience him, not by just the testimonies of who you know, have you heard him as, but he says, I want you to experience me by who I am in your life. And I'll come in any way you need me to come, he says. Any way you need me to come, I'll come as a deliverer. I'll come as a healer. I'll come as a reconciler. I'll come any way you allow me to come. Because I'll come to address the need. Can we all stand? As we get ready for this next song, I want us to do something as a family. I want us to begin to believe God. Let's believe God. Whether you're fasting right now or not, or you begin to fast throughout this year, whether it's food or television or social media, Lord, you're trying to do something in my family. Recognize that today. And Lord, whatever you're trying to do, I want to experience you. I want to experience your name, which is the name of Jesus. The Bible says that in his name, demons tremble. Forces of darkness fail when Jesus walks into the room. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, it says that when we fast, the bands of wickedness are simply broken off in that moment. This is the power of fasting. It's simply because we get to hear God. God is wanting to do these things already, but we can't hear him. And the Lord is saying this morning, I want to introduce you to not only who I am, but who you are in me. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Jason, I am with you. I am with you, sis. Eddie, I am with you. Let's close our eyes and lift up our hands. Father, we believe you this morning. If there's anyone here that is sick or have any ailments in their body, Father, we believe that you would love to bring forth healing in this place. Father, we just thank you for healing manifesting even now in this place. Father, we thank you for healing broken hearts, correcting old mindsets, things that has tried to get lodged into our soul. We welcome you, mighty Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, rest on us as we change our perspective on this upcoming year. This year will be so phenomenal. Not because of a New Year's resolution, but because you're going before us. And I declare in Jesus' name that he will not only go before us, but he'll go with us in the journey. We thank you, Father. We honor you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.